And last time that I was with you, we talked about fathers. And we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to do part two on fathers. And before we get started, let's pray. Your gracious God, we do thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. And Father, how powerful it is and how it just really cuts the heart if we are willing to see and understand and willing to yield our hearts to you. And Father, it's transforming. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit and how he takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God helps us to see the truth and transforms our very life. So Father, we give you thanks and praise. May we be attentive to your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I talked a little bit about my dad and how he has taught me so many things, and I'm so grateful for him. And kind of more in the physical realm, but I was thinking also is what has he taught me, and not so much sight. My father has taught me many things along those lines as well. One of the things that I see in my dad, he's a very humble man. He's a man that I don't know. His presence is not one that he demands that everybody knows he's there. But he's a very humble man. But yet, as he is humble, he teaches. And I was just, as a matter of fact, this morning I was just kind of rumbling in my mind how my dad would do things, and what was caught. As I started reflecting on the things that I caught, or I see, I understand. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know if they're all intergrained in my person, but I definitely see the things that he was striving to teach without words. And those things that I've noticed was, like I say, he's humble. He taught me not to grumble. He's not a grumbling man. And also I see that he doesn't talk down to people. He's not a gossip guy. And he does not complain. My dad he likes going around and being with his family and so forth, and he likes to get out, and at this stage of his life, every move with his legs, he's in pain. But he still goes. And he still wants to be there. It takes him a little longer to get there, but he's there. And he never complains. I said, I never hear him say anything in a, this is really hurts. I said, Dad, where does it really hurt? And he gives me a straightforward, he says, my knees. He's had bow-leg knees since he was born. And he's on his legs a lot of years because he's a barber. But he never complains. He just takes it slow. And I guess my thinking is that those are some qualities, I believe, that is good. And even maybe in your dad, you have seen some qualities and ponder it and say, what is Dad teaching me without teaching me in the verbal sense? What do I see in my father that is important that I apply to my life? Can we look at our father and maybe see some, pick out some negatives? Yes, we can. But let's look at it from a different point of view. Let's look at it, what he's teaching me that is really wise to be learning. Actions speak louder than words, oftentimes. And they are, when we see those actions, they kind of penetrate in our own hearts, sometimes more than what words can do. So it's very important as we look at our actions. One of the things that comes to my mind as we as men are developing, and young men developing, I really believe that we need to see a vision. We need to understand, where are my goals? Where am I headed? What is it for me that God would want me to be a part? And one of the things that, one of my favorite movies is 7 Days in Utopia. I don't know if anybody watched that. I know the Boyles have. And I tell you what, if you haven't seen it, I'm recommending it. It's very high on my movie list, 7 Days in Utopia. And one of the scenes there is that the mentor is wanting to help the individual who needs some instruction and needs to see things and understand things about his golf game, okay? Because he's a golfer, but yet this one gentleman is a mentor, and he sees the possibilities and the potential in this young guy, and he realizes he could help him if he would just come and be a part and learn from him. And one episode is you need to be able to see the shot. You need to be able to see what you have to do to make it in the hole. And I liken that to, we need to be able to see how our canvas. So he says to the mentor, says, okay, you see it? Yes, I see it. What I got to do? He tells him, this is what needs to happen. He says, okay, go paint it. Go paint what you see. You need to see where you're headed. You need to ask God and spend some time. Who are you, and what are you going? Where are you going in life? Go paint it on the canvas. My canvas is not completely done. I am not in the ground yet. And I have a lot of, in a sense, mentoring, I believe, to do yet. And I see that I have a lot of learning to do yet. But yet I have a goal. I have things that I want to see accomplished. I see things and I want to develop them. And that is what dads do. One of the things that dads do. He wants to help our children. He also has a vision for them. He needs to be able to develop them in that avenue. So, 7 Days in Utopia, watch it. It's a great flick. So what are you aspiring to? What are your children seeing in you? What are your children seeing in you, dads? What are you becoming as a man? We talked about this last time. The verse that talks about how to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And these two things hang the whole Old Testament. The law and the prophets, they speak of these things. It's so important for us to really have a heart passion for God. Kind of reminds me of that verse in Psalms chapter 42, verse 1. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water. The idea is that that deer is actually being chased. That deer is hard-pressed, and he needs a drink, or she needs a drink. And so they're yearning for that brook. They're yearning for that water to have a refreshness. We need to yearn for God in our heart, in our life. It's something that, in my opinion, it's something that you learn as you come and understand our God, and He wants that relationship with us. And he wants to give us many things, but he wants to give us wisdom and understanding, and so that your life and you, those whom you influence, will be all the greater for. Question. In your life, are you looking more like God? Like your Heavenly Father? So, well, I've never thought about that. But that's what he is. He is training us, teaching us, so that we would be like him. And so the question is, what is your children seeing in you, man? You may be a grandpa. You may be 80 years old. What are your children seeing in you? It doesn't matter what age you are. You are always mentoring, you're always teaching, and you're always learning. Learning. I hope there's never a time that I stop learning. I got a question for myself here. What are you aspiring to become? The man that your sons, is it what you're aspiring to become, is it like in such a way that your sons are willing to become like you? Are you becoming the man that you want your sons to become like? Or this, are you becoming the man that you want your daughters to marry? My life, your life, man, makes a difference. What your family will be like. We talked about Deuteronomy, and it's well worth going there and reading that passage last time. But it's well worth reading it again. And Moses is teaching, and he's saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." See, life happens. And every situation, in my opinion, is oftentimes a teaching situation. Sometimes the teaching situation is, don't be like that. I made a mistake. And do you think my kids know that? Oh, yeah. They know it. But sometimes it's, what do I do in those situations? What do they learn from me in those situations? How do I handle it when I do blow it? That's very important. Because they are watching. They're seeing how you handle life. I believe that's being in a family is the greatest part of being able to be mentored. As long fathers are yielding after our Heavenly Father. Let them see, Matthew 6:33, really at work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness, and all these things that we possibly want that are worthwhile will be added to us. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let them see you get help from God. Let your children see that you are a praying man. Let them see that sometimes you can't do anything else but pray. And let them allow them to see God at work. God can be trusted, I talked about last time. God is just, and God is fair, and God is merciful. Each day is a new day. We talked about forgiveness last time. How fathers need to lead the way in the area of forgiveness. It's not fun, but it's a godly thing to do. In your parents, those children need to see how you work through that. Because that's life. There's going to be people that rub you the wrong way and may have said some real cruel things about you. But what do? You need to allow God to open your heart enough to say, I'm willing to forgive. And they don't even need to ask. You let it go. Remember last time we had Sarah and Olivia up here tied together? And how if we keep that thought in our mind, even though they're not there, they're still there. The person that has offended you, you carry it with you. Let's not do that. Ask God to help you release that. So important. So they can see how Dad deals with things. They're watching. They see things. They understand things. So very, very important. I want to read out of Matthew chapter 6. It's in the area of forgiveness. Jesus is communicating, and he kind of cradles it in a situation that it's unique, this idea of forgiveness. And I'm going to start reading in chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be present by men, be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. In other words, let's not put on for show. The show is not where it's at. God sees right through it, believe me. He does. I tell you the truth, that they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. When your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask. And then he goes and leads us in the sense of the Lord's Prayer. This is how we ought to be praying. And he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God, let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done in my family's life. Give us today our daily bread. God, you see what we need. Allow that to take place. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. We live in a world of debtors and debts. Very, very much so. And we understand when someone who offends us and when someone does us right. But we are to forgive us our debts. Do we have offenses with God? Yeah. Do we want that to be forgiven? Oh, yeah. We also have forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The evil one. For if you forgive men when they have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. That's kind of an interesting passage here. Does this mean I will lose my salvation? Does this mean that God will throw me away? No. This here passage deals with my relationship with God. This passage deals with a father and a son type of thing. It's a passage where we need to respond correctly to my father. In the sense that, what happens when I disobey my dad? Is my dad really joyful and glad to see you? He's disappointed. I can remember my dad told me, I want the lawn mowed before when I get home. That's what he said. I want the lawn mowed before when I get home. He gets home at 6 o'clock. I had all day to mow the lawn. What do? Hey, we got all day. I have all things and fun things to do. What was I doing when Dad come home? I just started mowing the lawn. Sometimes he's not real happy with me. We didn't follow directions. Does that mean he disowns me? No. No. It's a mentoring time. It's a time to help us see the truth, to help us understand it is a good thing to obey. It is a good thing to understand what obedience is about. And he says here, but if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of yours. It's a relationship issue. It's not a losing one's salvation. Our God is a very just God. Our God is a very forgiving God. And he wants us to be the same. It's not easy. But walking in this life is not easy to be one like our Savior. My daughter made me a desk, a mini desk, I'm going to call it. And in my living room, I oftentimes have coffee table? No. Little small tray thing where you eat off of, right? And so you can go out there and people can eat in your living room and have a little something there. Well, I always had one by my chair and because I always use it and put my laptop on it. And so my daughter, she thought I needed a little something nicer. And when she made it, it was really nice. It's small, it's compact, and it's quite nice. And one of the things she did, on the top, she had wood, and you could see the grain, and I really liked that. And I noticed that she did not sand against the grain. She sanded with the grain. And it really shined, in a sense. It really was nice. I don't know if I should have said it, but I said, honey, I am so happy. This is really nice. And I said, I didn't know you could do this. She did a good job. And I was very thankful for it. But she did not stand against the grain, but she stand with the grain. God wants to teach us to go with His grain, to go with Him, because His teachings, and don't cross it, because it causes problems, and it is not very pretty. It just doesn't have a very harmonious outcome. Who says that? I can't remember. It was a harmonious outcome. One of our movies that we've watched has, what's that? Anybody say, okay. Well, anyway, we'll have to, but the goal is to be unified with our Savior, to be unified with our God. And our children need to see that as we live life. Oh boy, we're getting well done. I wanted to leave with you this. I don't know. One of my situations in my first church, and I had a father that was very disgruntled with their daughter, and she was making choices that were not very good and not very wise. And he says, basically, I'm going to abandon her. I'm going to leave her. I'm going to not associate with her any longer. And I said, you know, you can do that. But I don't see the Father in heaven doing that. I said, your child needs to see you respond like our Heavenly Father does. And we talked and talked. And he expounds on how he's so disappointed in her. And I don't know if I said this, but I said sometimes our Father is disappointed in us. And how does He respond to us? Your daughter needs to see God living in you. Your daughter needs to see how God responds in these situations. Can we tell her that I'm disappointed? Yes, we can tell her I'm disappointed in your actions. But I still love you. And sometimes discipline is such that, you know, if you choose to live this way, and you will not follow underneath my directions, then maybe you should try to find some place where you can. And this lady was out of school and so forth, and she was just kind of living off of dad and so forth. And I can see that in some reasons, sometimes it's okay to let them go, because God loves them so much more than I do. He really does. And sometimes learning in the situations that they find themselves is much more transforming than others. But God loves each one of us. And He wants the best for us, just like parents want the best for us. But we need to show forth the love of Christ, even in our disappointments, even in those challenges. We do. My last point was, let's develop our children. You know, the Bible talks about how they're all different. Your children are all different. My children are all different. And they have a uniqueness about them. We need to help develop them so that it's all right to be themselves, in the sense of their character and how they live life, but you need to integrate and help them see what God wants. But we have our own soul, and we are different than anybody else. But we need to help them become their own person, their own thoughts, and let them see their own vision for themselves. Let you impart that idea of to dream, to become someone, but never absent from God, never absent from Him. Because when we become absent with God, our life oftentimes crumbles. And we see a world that is crumbling before our very eyes because they're absent from God. I look across our world, I look across our towns and our little small towns, and I say, oh God, how can we impact them? But it starts, as we heard, one person at a time. Our caring concern for them. One person at a time. Taking you, taking that special time with your children, your grandchildren. And if you see something that is positive, throw the green flag and tell them, you know, hey, I see this in you. Let them know it. Let them understand those positive things. Because the negative things, everybody's going to tell them. I'll guarantee you that. But no one oftentimes tells them the positive things. We need to develop our children in a way that reflects God, in a way that reflects God, who they made, this child. God made this child in such a way that we actually are able to think, we can move, we can do all kinds of things. We are the ones that encourage them to become who God had made them to be. Let them understand that. Let them see the vision. I'm done. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, you are great and awesome God. You are the best Father. And as we as fathers sit here, and young men sit here today, we are people who have come to know that you are the best Father. And God, if we haven't come to know that yet, may you prod our hearts in such a way that we see you, the great God that you are, and the great Father that you are. Oh, Father. You are so good to us all the time. May we yield our hearts, may we yield our person to you. And may our children see that. May they understand who their father really loves. And when we put Him first, our children will see God in us. And just maybe we can pass that down to our children. So they might have the vision of living for God, enjoying His company, in walking in such a way that God is delightful with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these men. In Jesus' name, amen.